Hola from Peru.
Hola, me llamo Head.
is that what they call it? You know, in the Spanish vernacular, head. Head.
That's how you pronounce Jed en español, my friend, or shall I say, mi amigo.
I made it down to Peru. I am broadcasting to you live, you, only you, no one else, from the closet of the bedroom of my apartment.
Wow.
Because there's better acoustics in here.
The sacrifices we make, John.
The listeners. Yeah, we do what we have to do.
I am luxuriating on my couch, John.
Oh, well, lucky you. I'm sitting in a bar stool in a crowded closet, walk-in closet. I'll make it through. I'll rough it for
as long as you know how to love. You know you're still alive.
I know. I'm good. So this is episode 108 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is episode 108, as I said, in honor of the top 100 films, which we're now using as our moniker for each episode. The eighth most popular comedy film of all time, according to one of many different IMDb lists, is Annie Hall, Woody Allen's epic ode to New York City.
Wait, isn't Manhattan his epic ode to New York City? Or are they just all kind of epic odes to New York City?
They're kind of all yeah. Odes to New, all of them are, actually, now that I think of it. But Manhattan, I guess, is his number one kind of love letter to New York City.
It's a little bit weird, right? Because of the daughter thing or the stepdaughter or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
I still don't quite know how to process that. I don't want to get too political here. Not this isn't politics. But I don't want to get too, I don't know, whatever it is. But
opinionated?
Like, it's a little weird, right? Like, and there's so much about it that's just kind of weird. And I really wish I didn't have to process it through that lens, because I try when I look at movies, I try to leave their people's personal stuff just out of it, you know, like,
right.
Just it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It's just but it's like he's the filmmaker. And then like in Manhattan, where right. he's like whatever 38-year-old guy trying to nail a 17-year-old girl. And you're like, yeah, that's weird that he actually made a movie.
Yeah.
And then like half of his movies kind of have that theme of like the older guy trying to get with the young ingenue.
Right.
It's weird.
The good looking girl with the weird looking guy.
Yeah.
It's great when you write the script so you can write yourself as the leading man.
Yeah.
But he stopped doing that after a while when he realized that he was no longer, you know, when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, now 80s, that's not the role for you. But I mean, I think he's a master writer, and his comedic timing is impeccable. And I just
he's a master what, he John? A master right? A master what writer? Master,
a master writer. Yeah. Yes.
It's just awkward. That's all. It's just awkward.
So today's a big day in the world of baseball. We have trade deadline day. So we're going to get into that in a little bit, but we're going to go over some headlines. We have very few headlines so that we can spend
one could
the majority
say it's
of
bananas.
This episode.
Right, John? Isn't that a Woody Allen film? Bananas.
There you go. It is.
So this is everything you ever wanted to know about the MLB trade deadline, but we're afraid to ask.
Afraid to ask. Wow. We're going deep.
Yeah.
This is MLB days.
With Commissioner Bud Zelig. Am I right? Zelig.
Wow. We're throwing them all in. There you go.
There's like 80 of them. Did you know he's made like 80 movies? Can you even name like 10? That's the thing. No one can name 10.
I could name almost all of them.
You could name all 80.
I'm a huge
good.
Woody Allen fan.
John, go.
No, I don't think I could.
No, I'm just kidding. No one cares.
Name all 80. No, he's done a film a year since like 1974 or 5.
Right.
Consistently one film a year, which is nuts.
Right.
Prolific. He's always got one film in writing, one in production, and one in post.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
It is.
Some misses, a lot of good ha 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 movies, and then a few classics. But you can't hit a home run every time.
Right.
We're just mixing metaphors all over the place here.
Yeah. That's a slam dunk.
So let's get into the headlines.
Great.
Okay. Headlines. This week's headlines. I wish I had some kind of like music. Not too many. I guess the biggest kind of news, not really that it's a big deal because, you know, Troy Tulowitzki rode off into the sunset quite a long time ago, but he officially retired after trying to come back from a calf injury that has sidelined him from what I think it was the first game, second game of the season.
Yeah, they strung up that calf. They made, turned him into veal.
Yeah, he's put a fork in him. He's done.
Yeah, so, okay, so do you want to do like a little bit of like a, what's the word? Is it an obituary for him? Is that an obituary? That's probably, it's like
it
a eulogy,
a little
right?
Too dark. Yeah, it's a little bit of like a career eulogy kind of thing.
He almost seemed like he could have been a Hall of Fame player, right?
Oh, his first two, three seasons, of course. Yeah. You know, 2007, the season he had that kind of helped bounce them into the playoffs, which they got swept in the World Series. But he was such a...
Red Sox fans, thank you, Troy.
The conversation around him is he's a franchise player. He had great glove, good bat, not necessarily super speed, but he was one of those baseball rats. You know that he was just totally dedicated to the game and hard nosed. You know, the kind of guy that you want on your team until he started getting hurt every year for the past four years. Hadn't played a full season since what, 2015.
I mean, he really only played like three seasons where he had like more than 140 games. Like that's in 13 years. So that means he spent 10 years with significant injuries. That's a lot.
Yeah. That'll tarnish the gloss, the glimmer on your star. Does that make sense?
No,
I don't think that does. But, yeah, one of the things that I was reading about in his press conference, one of the things that he was saying is there's a little bit of bitterness with the way things went down with the Rockies. He still
You mean when they dumped him on the Blue Jays?
Right. Is that he said that the communication is what bothered him most, is that there wasn't any, towards the end there, and that thought that he deserved a little bit better given what he had done to infuse life into the franchise, in that 2007-8-9 run that they had.
I mean, if only there was some other way they could have shown their appreciation, like paying him $20 million a year. Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what they did. That should be thanks enough.
Yeah. He's going to do just fine, especially now that he's going to be an assistant coach for, or like a volunteer assistant coach for the Texas Longhorns baseball program.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so that's where he's going to go. But he went to Cal State Fullerton, and he said that when he, was finished that he wanted to, do something with helping develop players. You would think, I don't know, I guess he lives in Texas, but he said that that's what he was going to do. So more power to him. That's probably the last time we'll ever talk about Troy Tulowitzki.
That's an odd phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a name that is now part of the baseball's past.
And I've used him a lot in our starting nine because he's got that the two in there that's very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Got a good starting nine today, John. A tribute to Rutger Hauer. Coming up later.
Yeah.
Starting nine for Rutger Hauer. Also coming up later, John, we didn't mention this. Baldwin scale.
The Baldwin scale.
Baldwin scale. Scale. Baldwin scale.
So all of our longtime listeners and followers going back to our Through the Fence baseball days, the Baldwin scale's been around. This must be, what, the eighth year? It's got to be around eight years.
Right?
Yeah.
Feels
it's got to
right.
be. It's up
eighth
there.
Year Baldwin
Yes, guys,
scale.
We have been around that long.
The Baldwin scale has significantly changed over the years. Okay, so real quick. I know we're not going to do it now, but it's real quick. We rate every general manager in baseball based on whether they're an Alec Baldwin, a Billy Baldwin, a Stephen Baldwin, or the dreaded Daniel Baldwin.
Who, as we noted last year, the Daniel has resurrected himself just a tad.
Going to be honest, when I first started off the scale, John, those four were much further spread out from each other.
Right.
They're all kind of mushing together a bit here. I might have to find another group of brothers that have intrigued us over the millennia, over the decades. Or millennia.
But it's still working. It still works. Yeah. I think there are fans who, when they're listening to this, are going, hey, it's trade deadline day. It must be Baldwin scale time.
Or it's more like this, John.
There's got to be at least one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think they did that last year. That's more. That's
there's
more
no excitement around it?
Yeah, there's
it?
No excitement. What if we did, Marvel something?
Oh, Could be. Yeah.
Maybe next year we'll switch it up. I feel weird about the mush that's been the Baldwins have created.
Yeah.
I feel weird.
They've become closer.
Yeah, like Daniel's not like rock bottom, and Alec is not quite the pinnacle that he once was.
No. So, yeah, and maybe listeners, if you have some ideas for the scale to use next year, just leave a comment. We'd love to hear.
Just jot it down. Just jot your comment down on a piece of paper, put it on your fridge, and we will get to it.
Yeah. Or just jot it down and throw it away, and we'll see what happens.
Here's the thing. Jot it down on a piece of paper, then sprinkle it with lemon juice, then set it on fire, okay? Then flush the ashes down the toilet, not the sink, the toilet. Anyway, that's how you send us comments. Oh.
Send us a message. We'll get it. Guaranteed. So we do have a couple other headlines. I'm pretty sure no one would have predicted this in the beginning of the season, that the Twins have become the fastest team to reach 200 homers in a regular MLB season.
Yeah. There's a lot I want to say about this. First of all, they beat the old record by like freaking 20 games. Like, it's a significant record break. But here's the other thing. There's going to be other teams that would have broken that record too. And we're going to be seeing these records just getting shattered year after year if this ball stays the same.
Right.
I mean, look, as a man, John, we know the balls don't stay the same from year to year. We know. No. There are changes. No.
Yeah, you get the heavy ball era. But that's not for a few years down the road.
Look, sometimes the balls are more tightly wound.
Sure.
Sometimes there's more grooves in the balls. Yes, and sometimes the pill in the ball is not centered the same.
No.
There are lots of things that can happen to balls over the years, John. We know this.
But the commissioner has spoken, though, and he said, well, we have not affected the balls in any way to our knowledge.
Well, deliberately to make home runs.
Right. Which is, you know, not happening at all.
They're just everywhere. And the Twins, again, surprise team, but not that surprising because I was saying they were a good team at the beginning of the year because they have a good lineup. What's been the actual real surprise is the pitching. The pitching in this home run era, the pitching's been pretty good. I'm even going to go two octaves up, John. Yeah. That's how impressed I am.
That's a big impression. Yeah. So how many people in Fantasy League Baseball will be picking up Steve Wilkerson to nab a few saves for him?
First position player in the history of baseball to get a save in a game. We've seen position players come in and pitch in blowouts. We've seen it happen. He actually got the save.
And how dominant was he?
1-2-3. Now, to be fair, one of those three was Albert Pujols, so not surprising.
Right. Shell of his former self. But 16th inning, everybody's tired. Yeah. They want to go home.
Yeah, hell, the Orioles. You just want the season to end. They're like 16 innings. Give me a break. Send Steve out there.
Right, and you know, this is probably the shining moment of their season. Says a lot for the Orioles.
Remember the first couple of weeks they had a winning record. They were like 8-6 or something.
Yeah, and then you know what happened? Chris Davis started hitting. And everything changed.
They were like, wait a second.
They're much better off when he sucks. Yeah.
Oh, he has sucked so much lately. I saw someone posted like his most recent 20 at bats and like 16 of them are strikeouts.
So he's back in the funk. But then again, do you blame him? Even Trump says Baltimore's a hellhole.
I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, we don't need that kind of incendiary stuff coming from the President of the United States. But that said, it's the most terrifying city I've ever been in. I was there for a day. I heard gunshots. I was afraid for my life. I swore I'll never go back there again.
Yeah, my Baltimore experience is solely the harbor and solely a game at Camden Yards, so I can't really comment beyond that.
Yeah.
So it was a fun experience at the ballpark.
Yeah. Well, like many major cities in this country, it is having problems.
Yeah. Country, world, you know, big cities have big problems.
Yeah, well, let's do Baldwin scale.
That's our headlines. That's all we got. So, but the deep dive is the Baldwin scale. And if anybody was following along for the last week with the trade deadline, there was all this excitement around these big trades that were going to happen and big name pitchers that were going to be moving. And, you know, the Yankees and the Dodgers were going to make these huge, you know, leaps, you know, in talent to help secure their places in an epic high rated series. And up until 4:06, it was, wow, this was a dud. Nothing. Yeah. And then all of those last second things that needed to be processed by the office just started popping, and wow. It was like all of a sudden it was the worst trade deadline that I can remember, because nothing significant happened, especially when you take into consideration there's not another one. This is it. The only game in town.
Yeah.
And then boom, flurry in the biggest blockbuster of all with Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke. Do we know how much of that contract went to the Astros? They offered some good players, so I'm assuming Diamondbacks ate some of it.
The Diamondbacks are only eating $24 million, only.
Okay.
But they're eating only $24 million. Yeah, 55 or so, 55 and change or whatever it is going to be picked up by the Astros, which, you know, when you look at those numbers, 20, 25 mil for 2 years of Greinke sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I think both teams did well in that, actually. I think both teams did well.
Yeah, yeah. But the Astros did not part with Forrest Whitley or
Kyle Tucker.
Preston Tucker?
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker. Preston Tucker. Jeez. So, yeah, they didn't lose their top two, and so they did well. They also picked up Aaron Sanchez and Biagini. So they solidified a already good pitching staff with a couple of good people. I mean, you think about their starting rotation now. You know, you throw in Greinke. Wade Miley's had a resurgence, as does everybody that comes to Houston. And then you throw Aaron Sanchez into the spin rate machine, and he'll come out, you know, fireballing and, you know, getting his curveball dialed in. And they'll have five, you know, one, you know, you could say that they have five starters now that would be considered slotted in 1 through 3 on any team.
No, Aaron Sanchez would not be that.
A little bit of a stretch.
No. Let's not get too crazy, John. But I will say,
2 years removed,
and Wade Miley is a number three, maybe. But look, Cole, Verlander, Greinke is impossible.
Yeah,
it's impossible. It's an amazing acquisition.
You know, most other teams have inning eaters in the 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
You know, if they're lucky, they might get somebody who is more than that in the three. But they've got a solid three, and if Aaron Sanchez even comes out of the spin rate machine being a shell of his former self, and you know, even if he gets back to 80%, he's still a high quality starter. That's a big if.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. So we'll start with the Astros then on the Baldwin scale,
and they got to be an Alec.
Absolutely an Alec.
Yeah, Jeff Luhnow, who is always kind of criticized for keeping all of his war chest of prospects, as you know, some people are going to look at that and say, this guy's got a really good blueprint. You know, this maybe we should take a look at that, because they have just now inserted themselves as the favorites to win the World Series.
Oh, no, to win the American League for sure. But the Dodgers are still a better team.
I beg,
like, you're just forgetting. You're just forgetting how good Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Hyunjin Ryu are. Like, those three are better than Cole, Verlander, and Greinke. Like, those are.
We'll see.
Just right now, those three are better. That's all.
Okay, on paper, they are. But it's.
We're talking about on paper. Postseason. So we're gonna get into like Zach Greinke's extensive playoff history. Is that what we're gonna talk about?
No, I'm talking about, you know. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I'm just saying, I don't think
they're
the favorite.
Make it to the World Series. I know you think they're going to win. I don't even think they're going to make it to the World Series this year. But we'll see.
Right, but talking about, like, I don't think the Astros, anyone can say I don't think a team's going to make it, because it's hard to make it. But the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They have top. Did you say they brought up Will Smith? Not the actor. Yeah. The catcher.
catcher.
You know, just a couple of ding-dongs and three starts. Just saying. This is a stacked team. I don't know why they didn't really do anything, but both these teams.
But everybody was saying that they were all in on getting a bullpen, and they didn't do anything.
Yeah. And the Astros didn't really address that, but they fixed their starting rotation, which was a problem. But they just lost Presley. He's on the injured list. I'm just saying, these are two very evenly matched teams. They will probably do battle against each other in the World Series. Probably. But that's probability.
You're not disappointed in that the Dodgers just did nothing?
What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, look,
they have a war chest of prospects.
You can't just give away your war chest. And it's not like you know everyone who's going to take the war chest. Like, who should they have gotten? Everyone's got warts. The only guy out there that they were talking about is Felipe Sanchez, right? Lopez?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sanchez? I don't, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, like, knows? Why do we know that the Pirates wanted to trade him?
There was a great stat that was bandied about this afternoon that came from Baseball America that over, I think, from like 2002 to 2014 or 15, only like 42 players out of 400 and something that had been
80 players
traded at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it was 20%. Yeah, it's crazy.
Had actually made it to the majors. Right. But then Dan O'Dowd said that he did further research and showed that only four of those players, you know, I think through the same era all the way up to 2017, only four became All-Stars. So you're looking at, you know, we have this strong opinion that, you know, prospects are everything, and they don't always pan out.
For
teams that are really willing to go all in and win the World Series, now's the time to make that move, especially without the August deadline.
Right, and I'm a little
puzzled by the Dodgers and Yankees.
The Yankees, I think, were more puzzling than the Dodgers because the Dodgers, like, all they need is maybe one more relief pitcher, and the Yankees need two starting pitchers.
Right.
Like,
but they were going to shore up their bullpen because they're going to go bullpen, which makes no sense. The Yankees are basically saying is that we'll outslug.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the playoffs, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
Pitching wins in the playoffs.
Yeah. Plus, they just lost Luke Voit for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, well, there's one less slug. Not that he's a slug. I just mean, like, slugging.
Slugger. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've gotten through the Astros.
Yes.
So who else do we do you want to do this by who is a Baldwin or just go by or
no,
who
we'll
is
just
an
go
Alec
by the teams. We'll Billy? Just go by the teams.
Okay. So let's go through the AL West then.
Correct.
How about the Angels?
I mean, they're in a weird spot, right? Like, cuz they have some good prospects, but like they need too much in order to succeed and they don't really have anyone to trade. Other than, like, maybe a Cole Calhoun, but I don't know that anyone's looking for a Cole Calhoun. And they're probably just thinking, like, we'll just keep how things are, but I got to go down and give him a Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen.
Yeah, third tier.
Wow. And we should clarify, this is based on the moves that did or did not happen today. That doesn't necessarily mean that the GM...
Right, they're not necessarily fireable, exactly. Yeah, it's more like what's happened in the last couple weeks, right? Like, that's...
Right.
Like they're just the Angels find themselves once again in a pickle with they don't really have a starting rotation and they don't really have enough pieces to go all in and they're
in a
division that's kind of tough.
They've had a little, you know, insurgency going on too. They've kind of raised their game a little bit.
Yeah. And Matt Thais.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a nice call up for them. He started off a little slow, but he's got a couple home runs recently. He's a nice little addition to the team. But yeah, it's just, you know, again, starting pitching for them, they would need two or three just to get back in the conversation. So better to just not do anything because they didn't really have much to trade. So they just,
right.
But they didn't trade anything. So bad. Not Daniel, but bad.
Okay. How about the Rangers?
Now, the Rangers, I thought, were a bit... A lot of people thought they were going to trade Lance Lynn and Mike Minor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the new stadium opening next year thing for them...
Yeah, they need a little bit of a...
they need a starting rotation for that, for those games.
Yeah.
plus I think, you know, like, let's say they finish 82-80 this year because they kept basically all their players. Isn't that better just for team, the community and their than like a 77-85 team?
Yeah.
So I think the stadium influenced their decision, and I think it's right. Like, there's a, it's capitalism, man. You can't just like gut everything and then reboot. So I liked that they played it safe. They kept their guys, those two guys. If things go south next year, those two guys will be valuable, or the odds are at least one of them will be valuable. But man, there were sure a lot of people knocking for those two guys, knocking on their doors.
A lot of phone calls. Sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and give them a Billy Baldwin. Didn't really do anything, but I dig why they did it. Let me put it that way.
You're digging Billy.
Yeah. Second tier.
How about the A's?
Now, the A's have been kind of adding to the team all month. So I'm not going to go. It's like an Alec Light, you know, like late career Alec Baldwin, not Glengarry, Glenn Ross, coffee is for closers, but they've been adding nice pieces, and I feel good about the team.
Yeah, they're doing their normal second half of the season run. They got Olson back and is now contributing.
Yes,
they
contributed against Josh Hader last night.
Yeah, a little walk-off
game winning walk-off. But they got Jesus Luzardo, who might come and stuff. Like, they have some farm pieces that might do it, but really they're just kind of solid at every position, and they just need to keep it going. So,
and Sean Manaea should be back next week or next month. He should be back. Well, I was reading that he may have a. He just did a. I think he had a start minor league rehab start yesterday. Only threw 70 pitches, but went 7 innings, which is pretty efficient. And they expect him to do one more 100-pitch outing, and then he'll be up. So he could be up, you know, mid-August, mid to late August at the latest, which is a miraculous recovery considering that he had the surgery last fall.
Yeah. It would be nice to see if he could see him get back to where he was, because he had started to become an exciting player.
Yeah, yeah. We shall see. How about dealing Jerry DePoto and the Mariners?
Well, I'm going to give him a Billy because I can't bring myself to give him anything higher than that. Tier two, Billy Baldwin. Look, he traded Leak away, right? I think he kept on. They were talking about he might trade Domingo Santana. But one thing you know about Jerry DePoto is if he doesn't trade a guy, it's because the trade wasn't. The good trade wasn't there for him, or the trade that he thought was good wasn't there. So anyway, it's a dicey area. That's a rough team, man.
Yeah.
I'm still not 100% sure what they're doing. They have a couple of guys coming though.
Yeah, they do. But they said they were talking about their little reboot. It was like a step backwards, and it was more than a step. But it looked good in the beginning of the season, and then it went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, here's the thing, John. It was a step back, except someone was on their knees hiding behind them, and so they fell backwards. Classic college prank.
It wasn't just a little step. It was a good one. Okay, how about the Padres?
So the Padres basically traded for Taylor Trammell, right? That's basically what they did.
That was really nice get for them.
Here's the thing. I don't like Taylor Trammell. I don't think he's going to be a major leaguer. And I traded him in our Confederacy of Dunces league before the season started because I don't like his power numbers. And I don't think his power numbers... I don't think he's going to be an all-star. He might just be like another Manny Margot type. And like, oh, good, look, he's on the Padres. The current center fielder is Manny Margot.
Perfect fit.
So, great. But they traded Franmil Reyes and then a pitcher to the Indians.
I don't know who else went.
And the Reds traded Puig to the Indians. And the Reds traded Taylor Trammell to the Padres. I know a lot of people are really high on him and whatever. Maybe I'm just thinking like fantasy baseball value and whatever. Fair enough. I just not sure. I know I like Framil Reyes. I think that's a great player there. But
they got two good bats.
Yeah, the Indians got Puig and Framil Reyes. That's solid, man.
Yeah.
For yeah. 1 year of the weird thing about this trade for the Reds and why they're going to get a billion, not an Alec, is part of what they're getting is 2 months of Bauer. But they don't need this 2 months of value. It's completely worthless to them.
But the message I guess they're sending to their fan base is that we're going to give it a shot. We're going to try to get that last playoff spot.
Oh yeah, next year?
This year?
No, the Reds are like 8 games
out.
Why
make those trades?
No, they wanted to get an ace for their team for next year.
We'll see.
John's classic. We'll see. Oh, how about the Rockies, John? How's that going? How's their wild card chase going? Well,
the Rockies are way out of it.
What?
They're out of
it. Almost like they're not that good a team.
Put a fork in them. No, I think the Reds have been a surprise this year.
No, but they're in last place in their division.
Yeah, but they're only what, 6 games out of a playoff spot?
Fair enough.
They still have a shot.
Fair enough.
What else we got? Dodgers.
Dodgers, you can't do more than a Billy. They didn't really do anything. They're a great team, but they did need... I thought they would be a good fit for Diekman, but of course he wound up with the Athletics. Lefty, you know, whatever, but they have all the pieces. I mean, if you stack them up for a playoff run, you know, you put Maeda and... Julio, was it Urias? Urias? Yeah, you put them in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a strong bullpen. Would have been nice if they'd gotten some lights out dude, though, like Felipe Vasquez. Vasquez!
Yeah.
Lopez. Vasquez, so racist. It's that he changed his name. That's why it's confusing to me.
What about that team up the road, the Giants?
Now, just as I said, the thing I love the most about them going on that winning streak is A, they're not making the playoffs. B, now they can't trade off their best assets in order to build the farm team for the future. And they wound up keeping Bumgarner and keeping Will Smith. And there you go. I think it's a Billy. I think you balls up and you trade for someone and make a run, or you trade the guys away. And you don't do this, pardon my language here, John, but half-assed thing. My opinion.
Because they really didn't get anything. Yeah, they traded away.
They got Scooter Jeanette. I like that acquisition.
Oh, that's right. They did. They get Jeanette.
Because
but
Joe Panic has
three
been
pieces
awful.
Of their bullpen.
But they gave away, exactly. They gave away 3 pieces of their bullpen. Anyway.
But they're saying that they're good with, was it Tony Watson and who's the other, the closer?
Yeah, Will Smith. And then the Montoyas Smith, or whatever that guy is. Reyes, Monago. I don't know. I sound like a racist now.
Yeah.
I sound like you, John.
But they're basically what they're saying is that they have their bullpen is good enough. We're good. We don't need anything else. We're not busting it up, but we're good enough. We'll pick up Scooter Jeanette and we'll be good to go.
Yeah,
we'll see. What's the Yastrzemski grandson? He's got some pop.
He is on a heater right now. He's not this good in actual fact, but he's on a heater, and I love seeing it. I love seeing a Yastrzemski lighting up the bases.
Yeah, you got to be.
Even on the Giants.
Red Sox.
Man. Yeah, even on the Giants. Doesn't matter.
So how about those Rockies?
Yeah. Again, do something. If you think you're out of it, then you're out of it and trade something. There had to be something out there that they could have done, but I'm going to go ahead and give them a Daniel. But that's more out of spite.
A Daniel. And I feel an Alec coming on with the D-backs.
Oh, yes. First of all,
they had a nice haul.
They dumped Greinke's contract for the most part, right? They basically dumped what he should have been paid. The Astros are paying Greinke what he should have been paid, and the Diamondbacks are paying the upcharge that they put on there themselves. Fair enough. And they got Seth Beer, Corbin Martin. I still like Corbin Martin. He's going to be a number 3 if he can get past his injuries. Got Tommy John right now. Got another couple of prospects I'm not super familiar with. But then they also traded Jazz Chisholm, who's a very good prospect, but in an area where they already have some depth and further away from being valuable. And they got Zach Gallen, who's been a fast riser on the prospect charts, and the last couple starts of his have been bananas good.
Really good.
Including against the Twins, the homer-hitting Twins. Mm-hmm. two runs over six innings or something like that. So lots of Ks.
So they have some financial flexibility too now going into next season.
Yeah.
So that's a big win for them.
Yeah. I thought it was, you
know, obviously they traded one of the best pitchers in baseball, but they got a lot in return.
I thought it was very solid work. Very solid.
And everybody was talking about Robbie Ray was the big talk of the day going to the Yankees, and then that deal fell apart for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, they have him for another year, right? And maybe they're just like, you know what? We can, if we want to trade him in the offseason, we can. Otherwise, we got rid of Greinke, and now we have all this money. We don't need to worry about paying him next year. So,
right, right.
It was a lot of money, that Greinke contract. That was a stupid contract, just to spite the Dodgers. That was a stupid contract by the Diamondbacks.
Well, maybe it worked, though, because the Dodgers haven't won the World Series.
Yes.
And that's
great
all
point.
They cared about.
Great point.
Okay, that's an Alec then, right?
Yeah.
And let's move over to the National League Central, which is up for grabs. I think anybody except the Pirates could win that division. Realistically, Pirates and Reds are out, but Reds are, you know.
No, John, don't do it. Don't, John, but just don't do it. I'm just going to make fun of you about it later.
Okay, let's go with the Pirates.
Okay, Pirates, I'm going to go Steven. They got rid of what? What
didn't do,
traded one guy, Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, yeah, didn't do enough.
But maybe they get a Billy for not trading away Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows again this year.
Maybe. It's like, yeah, maybe we would have been more competitive if we didn't pick up Chris Archer. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Rough trade, man.
Change of scenery. Maybe. Maybe not. So let's move on to the first place St. Louis
currently
Cardinals.
In first place Cardinals. Yes.
Yeah, who knew?
Because they're in first place, I think they get a Daniel.
Yeah, because they didn't do anything.
If they weren't in first place, they didn't do anything. They need a starting pitcher so bad. And they have prospects, man. The guy they traded Oscar Mercado last year, who's doing well for the Indians this year. But the guy they got back, John Torres, trade him for a starter, for crying out loud.
If you're in first place, this is your chance.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the teams that went all in and picked up a big piece towards the, even if it was in the August deadline, today is now the August deadline. They definitely helped their chances.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what Eovaldi did for the Red Sox, you know, last year.
I mean, that was crazy.
He wasn't a frontline guy, but if you pick up somebody who was like an Eovaldi here for the Cardinals, it could have been a difference maker. Not to say that they would have, but you have to, at this point when you're this close, I would think that you would go all in and pick up the one. If you needed one thing to shore up your team without giving up too much, you should at the very least attempt to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so there, you know, Marcus Stroman was out there. You know, there was no
bones.
Apparently,
about that. Zach Greinke was out there too.
Anybody else go in? Yeah, yeah, and no one talked about it really. But then, listen to the talking heads on the MLB Network. They were saying there was a lot of buzz around Greinke throughout the day.
Yeah,
where there was very little about him, you know, leading up to. But you know, once the day started, there was a lot of buzz around him.
Yeah. Well, hell, he started
it's
today.
Be a Yeah, and in the rain, no less. So, yeah, that's interesting.
But Cardinals fans are probably losing their minds, and they got Daniel Baldwin all over the place here.
Well, Cubs, what do you think about the Cubs? They didn't do. They got a couple of little pieces, but I'm
still
not convinced
that
they
I'm going to give them an Alec, because I think that I think you got to count the Kimbrel signing. Because it's this month.
I guess you could put that in there. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Nick Castellanos is a nice addition to the team. Like, that's...
Especially in that ballpark.
Yeah.
His
I'm not sure how
well
all those pieces Wrigley. Fit on the field exactly with Schwarber.
No. No, you gotta... Well, he's a bat, but he's also a fielding, liability.
Yeah, so what do you put, like, Schwarber and liability. Castellanos in the outfield with Hayward and centered?
Hayward's going to have to cover a lot of ground.
I mean, that sounds just like a mess, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's going to be some problems there. But they like to mix and match, and we'll see what they do. How about the Brewers? Didn't do enough.
I mean, look, maybe what they're doing is they're looking at their team and they're just like, look, our best pitcher's out. Maybe they're just kind of like, we don't want to waste anything here. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it goes next year. It feels like that to me. Like I'm going to call it a Billy because I like the choice. I think it's better than a Steven. Mm-hmm. I think it's second tier.
Played it safe.
Like you just,
and I guess part of it, the way you got to look at it with anybody in that division is that one injury to another team could catapult you into a dogfight to the very end.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and maybe the Brewers are saying like, well, we had such a fantastic finish to last season. We're banking on it. We're banking on doing the same thing. Yelich has had an awesome season all year.
Yeah.
Compared to like last year, he turned it on in the last 6 weeks and went bananas.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can, I mean, his production this year has been phenomenal. There's just not enough pitching in Milwaukee to keep them in games.
Right.
But it's going to be, I think that division's going to be fun to watch all the way down, just like it was last year, down to the very end.
Well, that you have my agreement on, John.
How about the Reds?
Okay, so the Reds, I'm going to say an Alec, because I love Trevor Bauer. I like him more than most people do. Get Trevor Bauer into the National League. I like going to get an ace. They're hard to get. I think they might have overpaid a little bit with Puig and Taylor Trammell. I think like that's a bit too much to pay,
right.
But they got a guy that they wanted to go after, and you know, like, same, you know, they did the same thing with Sonny Gray and that worked out great. And earlier this year. And I think they're building for, it's a strange way of building. It's a little like zigging while everyone else is zagging, but you know, they're keeping their best prospects. Jonathan India, of course, they still have Nick Senzel, but you know, some of the luster's off Trammell, you know what I mean? Like he's fallen in the rankings. It's not like it's not like I'm the only one who noticed he doesn't have enough power, you know?
What'd you think of Trevor Bauer's heave, his final toss,
right,
in a Cleveland uniform was over the center field fence?
Amazing. I saw someone point out an interesting thing. He said, look, we want these players to play with passion when they're batting. Let's let the guy play with a little passion when he's pitching. Obviously, he apologized. It sounded sincere. Fine. Everyone knows he's kind of a jerk a little bit. I think it's funny to have a Bauer trade involving Yasiel Puig because, again, bit of a jerk.
Right.
But, yeah, he's
one jerk with another jerk. So.
Yeah. And then the Dodgers traded for Jed Jerko.
High. Yeah. Yeah, key acquisition there.
Yeah. Well, actually, the key acquisition there was international slot money, believe it or not.
Oh, is that what they got in
return?
Yes. Well, that's not too bad. Even trade.
Yeah, hidden gem.
Let's move on to the Tigers. Did they get enough?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Shane Green and Nick Castellanos have a limited appeal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shane Green's having a great year, but we all know that it's still Shane Green, and Shane Green of the last 5 years might show up. Ooh. So no one's going to dump like a Gleyber Torres, you know?
No. Right.
For Sean Green. So I thought they should trade Matt Boyd because I don't think he would ever have a higher value than he does right now, but maybe they were just like, didn't have their socks knocked off, so to speak. And want to wait till the off season to try to trade him. But my problem with that is it's a pitcher. He blows out his arm next week. You get nothing.
Right.
But I'm going to go ahead and give them a Billy. They get a Billy.
Okay. Indians. We spent some time talking about them.
I love what the Indians did. They basically traded 1.5 seasons of Trevor Bauer for two awesome outfielders and a couple other pieces, another pitcher. And like, a lot of people give them crap because, like, oh, they didn't try to re-sign Michael Brantley. Like, they clearly are dealing with a budgetary problem. And now whether any team really has a budgetary problem or not, that doesn't matter. It's like they get to do whatever they want. They're not public trusts, you know? Like, they're private enterprises.
And they have a great manager who's good at managing the assets that's in front of them.
Yeah, and that team has sort of gotten itself together. It also has Danny Salazar coming back from the injured list. It's got Mm-hmm. Carlos Carrasco is looking like he might pitch this year. Kluber's looking like he's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of Bauer.
If they can get, yeah, they still have enough to, especially the way they've come back. I mean, they've had a nice run. They didn't have their, 23-game winning streak, but close enough. They're back in the hunt.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of the wild cards. So, like, they're...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're in it. How about the Twins? They picked up some bullpen help.
They got some bullpen help. Again, I would like to see them do more. I'm going to give them a solid Billy. A lot of these guys are getting Billies because I just felt like they should do more. Like, go all in, man. Make a baby. Right. You know what I mean? Commit. Take that condom off. Just make the commitment.
Right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about, John. I feel like it's inappropriate. But you're a dad, you know.
White Sox, yeah, sure, yeah. Sure, and the White Sox, I don't think they did anything, did they?
They didn't do anything. They didn't trade Jose Abreu because they want to keep him. Like, good, trade him and sign him in the offseason. They kept Alex Colome for some reason. That's the silliest thing I could think of. Like, what? It's Alex Colome. Someone must have wanted to give you something for him. I'm going to give them a Daniel.
Daniel. Oof. Royals, they didn't do anything either, did they?
Now, in their defense...
Oh, no, they traded Homer Bailey, right?
Yeah, they really don't have much they can do. So I'm going to give them a Steven for getting themselves in this situation. Because, you know, Steven would always get himself in situations.
Sure.
Like the Biodome. You're familiar with his work.
How about the Braves? The Braves made some key moves to shore up the bullpen.
They got all the relievers. I think their bullpen, their starting rotation is okay, but maybe there just weren't a lot of starters that you could get. I don't know. It's just they have a really good team, and I'm surprised to see them still kind of slow playing it. They got a lot of relievers, and they'll figure out that bullpen eventually. And I guess right now Shane Green will be the closer. Luke Jackson, the wheels have come off the Luke Jackson cart. He turned it back into a pumpkin. What other metaphor can I do here on him?
So what do we give?
We're going to give them a Billy. Give them a Billy.
A Billy.
Because where's the outfield help, man?
Matt, the Braves just seem like they're a star player away.
Yeah.
Whether
I thought Puig was going to wind up with them. I thought that would have been a great addition for them. Good defense.
That would have been a great addition.
Explosive bat, explosive offense, explosive attitude. I don't know.
Josh Donaldson has really helped. I mean, he has added some star value to that team, and the pop is back in his bat, and he's got his attitude back.
Get a nice 3-year deal in the offseason. He'll get a 15-year, a $15 million a year, 3-year deal in the offseason. He's earned it.
Mets. The Mets, a lot of ripping the Mets a little bit earlier this week for the trade for Stroman because no one really could figure out what they were going to do.
Because no one knows what the hell the Mets are doing.
So it appears they're like, we're going for it. We're 5 games under 500, but we're going for it. Do they have
pitching? Five games is not a lot.
Guys all come together?
Yeah.
No, it's not. But, you know, is Stroman enough? Will Syndergaard, get it together?
I mean, will Stroman who do they trade away? What's his name? Is it Garcia? Is that who they traded away? No.
It was two prospects, right? Two pitching
prospects?
No,
they traded away the starter. I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. To the Phillies. To the Phillies, yeah. What's his name?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, they traded that guy. They saved $2 million. So maybe that's what they were trying to do, was save money. So now you got...
Jason Vargas.
Yeah, that's right, Jason Vargas. So now you got Thor, DeGrom, Wheeler, Stroman, and Mats. Starting five.
Which, when you hear those names, when they were talked about as being really good pitchers, that's a pretty formidable rotation. But too much injury, too much inconsistency... Yeah. Although Stroman's had a good year this year.
Defense is very suspect on this team. Bullpen is up in the air. Edwin Diaz has not been the Edwin Diaz they thought they were getting.
Yeah, he was,
I don't know. It was a weird team,
to get traded,
man.
Too. He didn't get traded.
Weird team. What are you doing?
Fans are scratching their heads.
I'm going to have to give him a Steven.
Steven. I would agree with that. How about the Phillies?
I'm going to give them a Steven also. I don't know what the heck they're doing. But what'd they get? They got Jason Vargas and Corey Dickerson. Maybe that's a Billy. Maybe that's all they really needed to do. I don't know. I can't figure out this Phillies team, man. It seems like they should be doing better than they are, but they just aren't.
They should be.
It's the starting pitching, right? That's their problem. But they can't really do anything about it because they're kind of locked in. Nola's been better, though.
Yeah, and Bryce hasn't delivered for sure.
Yeah, he's been good, right? Like, he'll probably be worth his contract the first year, technically. Great.
But my big thing
only
with him
42 more years
stadium,
to go.
I thought playing in that stadium, his power numbers were going to bump up.
Yeah.
Just hasn't really happened.
Yeah.
You know, the walks are there, not as high as they've been in the past, but his strikeouts are really up there. I think he's like second or third in the league in strikeouts. He's up there in walks. I know that. He's probably top 10 in walks and top three or four in strikeouts. So, yeah, the net is not good.
Yeah. I don't know. Might be a waste of $300 million.
Could be. How about the Nationals?
Well, the Nationals got a bunch of closers, right? Or a bunch of relievers slash closer-ish type guys, and that's what they needed. And so you got to give them an outlet because they just went out and got what they needed. They don't need starting pitching. They don't need offense particularly.
Yeah,
and
they said, this is what we need. They went out and got it. Yeah, they need
so
some.
So you
got
to give them an Alec for that.
Scherzer,
I mean, maybe
to
it's
come
not,
back. Yeah.
And, you know, it's more like a Beetlejuice Alec, right? Like, it's good.
Right. It's good. It's good. Yeah, the Nationals have played their way back into the conversation. There was some concern in the first half of the season. They've turned things around. All they have to do is get to the dance, and they have the pitching that can take them deep. So, assuming that Scherzer's healthy.
Yeah.
And how about my Marlins? I think they made some really nice moves.
Yes. I'm going to say they get an Alec.
Yeah, they got some nice pieces from got a nice piece from Arizona. They got some pieces from Tampa Bay.
Jazz Chisholm is a top 50 prospect. It's a couple years away, but he's a top 50 prospect. That's their new shortstop of the future. They got him. They got Jesus Sanchez.
Yep.
That's a top 50
prospect.
A lot of
people are high on.
Yeah. Right fielder from the Rays. And they gave up a relief pitcher in Nick Anderson and a starter in Trevor Richards. Is that the one? Trevor Richards. And so they had to pay to give up. And the Rays needed a starter and an additional bullpen piece. So they got what they needed. But I think the Marlins did well.
Yeah, they did. They didn't need to do a lot. You know, they're still a long way away, but they just, you know, they're adding more to the prospect pool, which is what they've needed to do for a while.
And they're adding offense to the prospect pool, which I think is important.
Which
them.
Is good because they had a ton of pitching. Yeah. But there was I recently saw something. I didn't read the whole article, but that the Marlins, if they had kept all the players, they would be one of the most dominant teams in baseball right now. So, it's
Ozuna, Yelich,
crazy.
Stanton. It's a monster. Luis Castillo, all the guys.
Okay, one more. We got the AL East to go. Yeah. Red Sox didn't do much.
I would say a Daniel, but then they won the World Series last year, so they get a Steven.
Yeah, and they're financially strapped too.
Yeah,
so there's,
that's the
there's
thing.
Not a lot they can add to it.
And people can complain like, oh, they're millionaires. Who cares? Like, at a certain point though, you do care. You just don't want to like set $20 million on fire, like. Right. That affects the team, man.
Right. And if they were a little bit closer, I think that they may have done a little bit more to kind of get there. But, you know, they made their bed in the first month of the season.
Yeah.
So they're scratching and crawling their way back in.
Yeah. It's kind of like, look, if you want to get back to the playoffs, you're going to have to get back to the playoffs, guys.
Right. Yeah. You guys, they have their same team. So
minus
a few pieces, but it's still the same team. So they can do it. And they've been hot of late. You know, their Bogarts has been on fire. Devers has been on fire. So
Bogarts is the best shortstop in the American League right now. He's incredible. Like, his numbers and his defense and, like, but his numbers are freaking great.
Yeah, he's been on fire for the last 30 days. I was looking at 30-day statistics. He and Devers and
Who, by the way, I picked up in one of my fantasy leagues, my big money team. Someone cut him.
What?
after a little slump like 6 weeks ago, and I picked him up, and it's just been...
He's been on fire the last month.
He's been on fire. He's absolutely torching the ball, like averaging over 100 miles an hour exit velocity.
Yeah, and I think he's leading the AL in RBIs, isn't he? Or
I mean, it's really...
Second, maybe?
It's so... As a Red Sox fan, it's exciting. I remember you and I, last year, you and I did a trade where I traded him to you, and I was just like, my one concern is that he's going to turn into this guy because he's got it in him. And here he is, this guy.
Here he is. He's this guy. That's good. So here's a surefire Daniel, I would assume.
Yankees got a Daniel, yeah. Where's the starting pitching?
This was the biggest surprise, I think, is they did nothing.
And they have so many good prospects. Hole. And not really a lot of place to put them. Trade your prospects, man. Come on, Cashman.
Yeah.
More like Trashman.
They're going to take a lot of heat. Yeah. They're going to take a lot of heat. But then other people are going to be like, well, they're in first place. Yeah. You know?
Yankees and Cardinals both. Like, they're just going to get so much grief from their fans. But, like, the Yankees, like, look, I know you're in first place, but a lot of that's kind of smoke and mirrors. And you just lost Luke Voit. Like, you need starting pitching.
Well, Severino and Betances have to come back and be, you know, exactly what they were.
Yes.
When
and
they were dominant.
Yes. And when, you know, when the Mars and whatever, the moon align, and then, all those things.
You can't put your eggs in that basket for sure.
Yeah. No, like, the Astros went out and got Zach Greinke.
Right. Yeah. So, if I'm the Yankees, if I'm Cashman, I'm like, where did that come from? And why didn't we know that... You know, he was available. That he would have never, I think New York was on his no trade list. So that was never going to happen for him. But Stroman was out there. You know, why didn't they get him? Why couldn't they pull a Wheeler deal? Although the Yankees or the Mets didn't really want to trade with the Yankees. But if Aaron Sanchez was out there, maybe they get, you know, a little bit of help.
Yeah.
They didn't
do
anything.
You
they didn't get
up
any
your
of the
offer
pieces
to the Tigers
moved.
And you get Boyd.
Yeah. Or what would they have needed to pry Bumgarner away?
Well, Bumgarner just wasn't going. I think they got close enough that they just didn't want to do it. And they'll just do do the qualifying offer at the end of the year and they'll get their
And I agree with some of the MLB talking heads were saying that, you know, to move him was going to require more than just a GM decision. That was a managing partner group decision, and they decided that that's an asset that stays given how close that we are.
Yeah.
And I get that. But, you know, from the Yankees' point of view, as a fan of the Yankees, they don't tolerate what just happened today. They just don't. And they're going to be scratching their heads. Sure, they got the best.
The Giants had to keep Bumgarner. You know what I mean? They had to. And it seemed, there were rumors he might go to the Astros or the Yankees. But look, the Giants are too close. And there's no way that ownership is like, okay, fans, you have to walk through streets filled with human feces and used needles to the ballpark. Oh, by the way, we just traded Madison Bumgarner. It's the least that the team could do for their fans.
Okay, let's keep moving. Blue Jays.
Alec. The Blue Jays traded away everyone that they could, and I always love when teams do that.
But they got the young kids. The kids are coming.
Yeah,
so they're banking on the kids.
They got Bo Bichette batting leadoff. They got Kevin Biggio. They got Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who just hit his second grand slam already.
I think Bichette hit his first home run today in only his second or third game.
Yeah.
So they got they're coming. Yeah. They're coming.
And they got Jordan Groshans, who's coming if Guerrero needs to move off of third base, or they can trade him. They got Nate Pearson in the rotation. They probably just need to get another pitcher or two, have someone pop up, you know, a prospect get better than they thought. And then here you have a team that can compete in 2 years. They're being well managed.
They look a little bit like the Astros did a few years back.
Yeah. 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 If you squint a little bit, the young core coming up.
The young core is coming up at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
Orioles, nothing. They did nothing.
I'm going to give them a Daniel because they're the ones that put themselves in this mess. And why do they still have Michael Givens on their team? You telling me that you couldn't give Michael Givens away for a bag of baseballs? Get rid of Michael Givens. He has some value. Get rid of him.
And last but not least, the Rays. The Rays plugged their holes.
The Rays plugged their holes. They did it with cheap pieces, redundant pieces. Jesus Sanchez is a very good prospect. but he is a prospect that the Rays have lots of.
Right.
And right. they got Eric Sogard to kind of bridge the gap between, like, if Brandon Lau, I think his is pronounced Lau, and mm-hmm. Nate Lowe mm-hmm. and Brandon Lau. If he takes a little longer coming back than they whatever, and then they got the starting pitcher they need and they got the bullpen piece they need. I got to give him an Alec.
Boom. That's it. Baldwin scale. The 2019 version.
The 1920 version. Hi, guys. All right. Well, here we go. We got the Cooperstown acrylics and the New York featherweights.
Let's move on to that big tease from earlier, the starting yes. nine in honor of Rutger Hauer, RIP. Classic bad guy. Had the look.
Great look. Peaked in Blade Runner.
He was magnificent in Lady Hawk.
Fantastic in Lady Hawk. The good guy, the bad guy with the heart of gold. He had that thing going for him. The Hitcher, terrifying.
Sure.
A little less, you know, he got older and a little more bloated and whatever, as some people do. And he never quite really reached stardom, but always solid in his projects and brought a very interesting depth to every character he played.
Mm-hmm.
Rutger Hauer, one of the greats. So for starting nine, I have starting nine players. It might not be nine in total, but anyway, baseball players fused into into his speech from Blade Runner.
Oh,
his famous speech from when he's talking to Decker at the end. All right. You ready for this?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't have a Rutger Hauer impression, so I'm not even going to try.
Okay.
I've seen things you Darvish people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on Mike Fires off the shoulder of Orion Braun. I watched CC Sabathia beams glitter in the dark near the Jose Quintanhauser gate. All those Brandon Nim moments will be lost in time like tears in Robbie Rain.
Bravo.
Time to die.
That's awesome. A great tribute from a great film to a great character actor.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer. So that's pretty much all we got this week. We got no extra innings.
No extra innings.
Because we knew we had a lot of Baldwin scale. So yes. What's coming up next?
Find out how each team's manager ranks on the Sheen Estevez scale.